and we're following the news on this planet today, but we are also following the news far, far away, near Jupiter, to be exact, where NASA's Juno spacecraft is arriving after a 1.8 billion-mile journey that has taken nearly 5 years. For the next 20 months, the unmanned spacecraft will orbit Jupiter, coming within about 3,000 miles of its cloud tops. Juno will gather information about the planet's origins, atmosphere, magnetic and radiation fields, and take pictures. In anticipation of the big arrival, I spoke via Skype with Steve Levin, who's project scientist for the Juno mission, and I asked him how Juno got all the way to Jupiter.
Okay, well, to begin with, we launched the spacecraft from Earth without enough speed to get to Jupiter, because that would have taken a bigger rocket than we could afford to use. So what we did is we launched it from the Earth in orbit around the sun. It went out past the orbit of Mars, and then we fired the main engines on the spacecraft to aim, so it came all the way back to the Earth and did an Earth flyby, and we let the Earth's motion and gravity give us an extra boost, change the direction, and from there we coasted all the way out to Jupiter. So that process has taken almost 5 years. We launched it in August of 2011. We did our Earth flyby in 2013, and here we are ready to arrive at Jupiter, where we will, when we get close to the planet, fire the main engine again to slow down so that we ride the Jupiter train and get into orbit around Jupiter as opposed to just flying on by.
And when you make a command from Earth, how long does it take for that to reach Juno?
Well, Earth and Jupiter and Juno all move. So how long it takes for a command to reach the spacecraft depends on where the Earth is and where the spacecraft is at that particular moment. But around the time of JOI, Jupiter Orbit Insertion, it's about 47 minutes. So it's getting close to an hour just to wait for the radio signal to get from here to the spacecraft. And then, of course, the same amount of time for the radio signal to get from the spacecraft back to the Earth.
And at this point, we have reached the all-you-can-do-is-watch-and-wait phase, right?
That's pretty much right. We've spent a lot of time and effort making sure that our robot knows what to do. We've put all the right commands on the spacecraft to tell it what to do when it gets to Jupiter to go into orbit. We've thought about all the contingencies we can imagine and tried to make sure that in every case, the spacecraft will do the right thing. So if something goes wrong, it will still restart the main engine and slow us down. And now we can just listen and cross our fingers and hope we got it all right.
And hope for some great photographs. What are you going to be looking for? What do you want to see? What do you want to learn from the photos that will come back from Juno?
Okay, so I want to clarify a couple of things. First of all is that when we actually go into orbit, we have all our science instruments turned off. And that's because we want to concentrate on just the one thing that has to happen right at that time, getting into orbit. Once we're in orbit around Jupiter, then 53 days later, after that Jupiter orbit insertion, 53 days later is when we come by the planet again. And that's when we'll first turn all our science instruments on and get a really good close-up look of Jupiter. The other thing I want to respond to is, yes, we will be taking some great pictures of Jupiter, but our science comes from a lot of other things besides pictures.
Such as?
So for example, what I think is the single most important number we'll measure at Jupiter will be the water content. How much water does Jupiter have? And the reason that's so important to us is that will teach us about how and where and when Jupiter formed. And by learning about how Jupiter formed, we're really learning about how all of the planets formed, how the entire solar system formed. Because if you look at our solar system with almost all the mass in the sun, 99.5% of the mass is in the sun, most of the leftovers, more than two-thirds of the leftover mass from the sun is Jupiter. And all the other planets are sort of the leftovers from forming Jupiter. So it's really important if we want to understand the solar system to understand how Jupiter formed. So to measure that water, to measure the water that Jupiter has, we need a way of looking beneath the clouds in Jupiter's enormous atmosphere. And our instrument that can do that is the microwave radiometer. It's got six different radio channels. They see six different depths into the atmosphere, and they will measure the water in Jupiter's atmosphere in a three-dimensional way beneath the weather and tell us how much water does Jupiter have, which will tell us how and where did it form, which will tell us about the history of the solar system.
How much more advanced is all this than the last spacecraft that we sent by Jupiter, which was Galileo?
So I like to think of Juno as more advanced than Galileo, but I think a better way to think of it is not that Juno is doing a better job than Galileo, but it's doing a different job. Galileo was sent to the Jovian system to study not just Jupiter, but the entire system, the moons that go around Jupiter, the radiation belts that surround it, its huge magnetic field. Juno has a job, on the other hand, of understanding primarily what's the interior of Jupiter look like, what's beneath all those clouds, and how did it form? Yes, we'll be in a good orbit to study other things. We'll study the magnetosphere, and we'll probably take distant images of some of the moons and so forth. But that's not our primary focus. Our primary focus is to understand what's beneath those clouds. So instead of orbiting far from Jupiter, relatively speaking, outside of the radiation belts that could damage the spacecraft, what we've done is we've come up with an orbit that takes us over Jupiter's poles, very, very close to the planet, in between Jupiter and the dangerous radiation belts, then out the other side. And then we can spend 2 weeks far away from the planet, sending the data back to Earth, doing whatever measurements we can, and then every 2 weeks, do it all over again. So we have these close flybys of the planet, and because they're polar flybys, we can avoid much of the radiation belt, we can get very close to Jupiter, and with Jupiter's rapid 10-hour rotation, we can get a new longitude stripe each time we go by. So by the time we're done, we can map the things that will tell us about the interior of Jupiter. We can map Jupiter's gravity, which comes from the whole planet. We can map its magnetic field, which comes from deep inside the planet. And we can use that microwave radiometer to study the deep atmosphere and measure the water content.
So with all that said, why does this spacecraft have to be destroyed at the end of the mission?
Well, what's going to happen as Juno orbits Jupiter is the radiation is gradually going to cause accumulated damage on the spacecraft. Now, we can do our best to calculate how long that will last, and we put in engineering margins and things, and we're confident we'll get to the end of the mission with a working spacecraft. But sooner or later, as the orbit progresses and goes more and more through the radiation belts, that spacecraft is going to be damaged, and we would eventually lose control of it. So we have to ask ourselves, what would happen if we left it there? And we want to make extra sure that we don't contaminate Jupiter's moons, in particular Europa, which has a liquid water ocean underneath its ice, because you'd hate 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now to get to Europa, dig beneath the ice, sample the liquid water ocean, find life, and then have to say, I don't know if this is life from Europa or contamination from Juno a long time ago.
And that's really a possibility with just a tiny little spacecraft heading into huge Jupiter?
It's not a high likelihood, but there's that remote chance that if we lost control of the spacecraft at the end of its mission and didn't do anything, it could eventually hit Europa. So instead, while we still have control of the spacecraft before the radiation has done enough damage to be a problem, our current plan is we'll deorbit. We'll fire the thrusters a little bit and have the spacecraft burn up in Jupiter's atmosphere where it can't do any damage. Now, you also have to realize that even if we come up with a plan, and of course we've been thinking of plans where we wouldn't have to deorbit. So, for example, we'd like to put it into an orbit where it would eventually hit Jupiter anyway, perhaps months or years later, but we could then operate the spacecraft until it fails and get more data. Even if we do that, because the orbit of the spacecraft will continue to progress and get more and more radiation and an increasing amount of radiation at the end of the mission compared to the beginning, we're not talking about hundreds of additional orbits. The additional lifetime that we're losing by deorbiting is potentially a handful or maybe even a dozen or two new orbits. We'd love to have those. And if we can do it without risking contamination of Europa, and NASA headquarters agrees, then we would do that. But we're not talking about an extended mission of multiple years because Jupiter's a dangerous place and those radiation belts are eventually going to destroy the spacecraft.
How does this feel for you personally, being so involved in this mission?
Well, this is a pretty exciting time. It's a tense moment as well as the spacecraft goes into orbit. We fired the main engine a couple of times before. The spacecraft seems to be working well, humming like a top. We don't have anything that I look at and say, oh my gosh, that's risky. But on the other hand, the stakes are really high. If we don't fire the main engine at the right time and get into orbit, then we don't have a science mission anymore. So even though I'm really confident that it's all going to work, I'm also a little nervous and a little tense, and will probably be tense right up until the last moment when we finally see the Doppler data and say, yeah, we're in a good orbit.
Well, best of luck to you and the mission, and thanks so much for joining us. Steve Levin, project scientist for NASA's Juno mission to Jupiter. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to join you.
And you can watch the mission live on NASA TV starting at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time tonight. That is, if you're not watching fireworks at that time. We'll link you to the stream at hereandnow.org.